Hello and welcome. Brother Mike here once again, continuing our studies in Jeremiah chapter 51. This will be verses 28 through 32. Let's begin by reading those verses and then going into an introduction, taking each verse one by one and then concluding with a conclusion. Well, let's begin at verse 28. There we read, "Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. They might have failed. Their might has failed, that is. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted." In this study, we continue with the theme of judgment against Babylon, that is against this world, including all the churches. We are first told to prepare against Babylon the nations, with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. But who are the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion? Then we are told that the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. But how can the land tremble in sorrow as if it were a person? And what does it mean that Yahweh will make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant? Next, we are told that the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might has failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. But who are the mighty men of Babylon? And why have they forborne to fight and have remained in their strongholds? And what does it mean that they became as women, and that they have burned her dwelling places, and that her bars are broken? Then we are told that one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. What is this telling us? And finally, it is communicated to the king of Babylon that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. What are the passages that are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire? And why are Babylon's men of war affrighted? Now the answers to all these questions and more we will learn as we go through this study. May our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, give us insight through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's begin looking at each verse one by one. And verse 28 is our first verse. It reads, once again, "Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. In this verse, we first read, prepare against her, that is Babylon, the nations. Literally, it reads, sanctify against her, that is against Babylon, the nations. Since sanctify means to set apart, we are being told to set apart against Babylon, the nations. But how can one set apart against Babylon, the nations, when the nations are a part of Babylon itself? That would be setting Babylon against Babylon. Obviously, the nations cannot be referring to the literal nations of the world, but they must be referring to the spiritual nations of the elect. Therefore, for instance, the American elect, the Canadian elect, the Mexican elect, or even the Russian elect and the North Korean elect, and so on. Yes, we are to set apart all the elect in all the different nations or countries to come against Babylon, that is against this world, including all churches worldwide. And how do we set apart all the nations of the elect against Babylon clearly? We do this by making known to the elect far and wide what their calling is in this day of judgment. And that their calling is to make known to the world and all the churches worldwide, that's Babylon, that the final judgment against them began on May 21, 2011, with the removal of eternal salvation from their midst. None of them can any longer be eternally saved in Jesus Christ, which means they will remain bound in their sins, and they will soon be destroyed for their sins on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Next, our verse tells us to set apart against her, that is against Babylon, the nations with the kings of the Medes. We could translate it like this. Set apart against her, that is Babylon, the nations together with the kings of the Medes. Since we concluded that the nations must refer to the nations of the elect worldwide, and we concluded in other studies that the kings of the Medes are the elect, and you can click on Jeremiah 51:11 to see this, to set apart against Babylon the nations together with the kings of the Medes is simply teaching twice, and therefore emphasizing that we are to set apart the elect whenever they can be found, wherever they can be found, to come against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, with the message of no more eternal salvation possible for any of them who were not already saved by May 21, 2011. And to set apart the elect for the task of getting out the message of judgment is to reach out to and educate elect insofar as what their task is in this day of judgment that we find ourselves to be in. Now, continuing with our verse, we are not only set apart against Babylon, the nations with the kings of the Medes, that is the elect, but we are also to set apart the captains and the rulers of these nations of the elect to go against Babylon. And this leads us to the question, who do the captains and the rulers of the elect refer to? Well, these would refer to those who lead the elect into battle against this world and all the churches through the teaching of the Word. Christ, of course, is our ultimate captain, but there are sub-captains and sub-rulers and rulers who have been given certain spiritual gifts to teach and lead. And under them are others who can help lead and so on. These elect we are to recruit, for they are the ones that we are to set apart against Babylon along with all the elect worldwide. We are to declare that Babylon is taken by there no longer being any possibility of eternal salvation for the peoples of this world, including all those who have remained in the churches, which means they are all to remain spiritually dead, and they are all soon to be annihilated on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day in which we now find ourselves. Finally, we are not only to set apart all the elect worldwide with their captains and rulers, but we are to set apart all the land of His dominion. That is, we are to set apart the whole kingdom of heaven that is ruled over by Yahweh, who is Christ, which would include the celestial angels as well as all the elect in heaven and on earth. They are all to be set apart to come against the kingdom of Satan in this day of judgment. I imagine that the celestial angels are set apart to help the elect in their proclamation of judgment day. They can not only strengthen the elect to accomplish the task, but they can work through their message to convict all sinners unto damnation. Whatever the angels' exact task is, we know that they are all out to help the elect. For we read in Hebrews 1:4, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So, if we are one of God's elect, then we have everything that we need to get the message of judgment out. We not only have the angels to help us, but we have the Holy Spirit within us to work unto Yahweh's good pleasure, which is to tell the world, including all the churches, that eternal salvation can no longer be found. Indeed, judgment day has come, and who can stand? Only the elect, who were predestined from the foundation of the world to be eternally saved by May 21, 2011. The rest have been kept unto wrath for their sins to magnify the justice of God. The elect, on the other hand, have been kept unto eternal life to magnify the mercy of God through the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He gave His life for us that our sins would be paid for, and so we would be made free from the law of death and be given grace to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Moving on to verse 29 of Jeremiah 51, it reads, "And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant." Here we first read, "And the land shall tremble and sorrow." When we read that the land will tremble and sorrow, we know it means that the people of the land will tremble and sorrow. We see this usage of the word translated here as land in many places in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. For instance, we read in Psalm 66, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands." Obviously, the lands could not make a joyful noise unto God unless the lands referred to the peoples of the lands. And again, we read in Psalm 96, verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth," or we could translate it, "all the land." Once again, all the earth or land could not sing unto the Lord unless all the earth or land meant all the peoples of the earth or land, since it is the people who sing and not the earth or land. And there are many other examples such as these. So we will just recognize, without listing all the scriptures, that when our verse declares, "And the land will tremble in sorrow," It means that the people of the land will tremble and sorrow. In other words, the word translated as land in our verse is short for the people of the land. And the land, of course, is referring to the people of Babylon. So our verse is saying that the people of Babylon, and Babylon, of course, refers to this world, including all the churches, will tremble and sorrow. And we know that this is an expression of their spiritual condition ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. It doesn't mean that the people of this world, including all those in the churches, literally trembled and sorrowed when Judgment Day came, but it is figurative language to express their spiritual condition ever since May 21, 2011. And that spiritual condition is one of trembling and sorrowing because eternal salvation is no longer possible. It is a terrible time. If we could literally see the spiritual condition of the world, including those in the churches, we would see them all trembling and sorrowing in pain because they would know that their time has come. And they have but a short time left before destruction and the darkness of death overtakes them forever. Next, we are told in our verse why the people of Babylon will tremble and sorrow. We read, "For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." That is, the purpose of Yahweh is to make Babylon, this world including all churches, a desolation without an inhabitant. But not just a physical desolation without inhabitant, but a spiritual desolation wherein eternal salvation is no longer possible. Think about it. Without eternal salvation possible, all of Babylon, the world including all the churches, are already spiritually dead. Any relationship that they have with God is a false god, and false gods are really demons. So all these people who believe they are worshiping God are really serving demons. We could therefore say that Judgment Day that we are now in, the world and all the churches is become a habitation of devils, a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2. And some, for good reason, would call this hell. Yet not only has this world and all the churches become hell on earth, but they are soon to be destroyed in fire by annihilation on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day in which we now find ourselves. So spiritually, Babylon has already been made a desolation without a spiritually living inhabitant, and it will soon be made a physical desolation as well without a physically living inhabitant on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Now let's move on to verse 30 of Jeremiah 51, verse 30. It reads, "The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might has failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken." In this verse we first read, "The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight." Literally, it reads, "The mighty men of Babylon cease to fight." Now, why would the mighty, or we could say the strong men of Babylon, stop fighting? Well, they would stop fighting because Judgment Day has come upon them, and there is now no possibility of their winning the battle. Indeed, up until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, the mighty or strong men, that is the spiritual leaders of this world and all the churches, fought to frustrate God's plan to save his elect. But now, since all God's elect have been saved, they have lost the battle. And in addition, they cannot now be eternally saved, but will be annihilated on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Therefore, the mighty or strong men cease to fight in the sense that their fighting can no longer be of any effect. All the elect have been saved. The mighty men of Babylon, the spiritual leaders of the world, and all the churches have lost the battle. Then we read, they have remained in their holds. That is, the mighty men of Babylon have remained in their holds. That is, the spiritual leaders of this world, including all the churches, that's the spiritual leaders of Babylon, have remained in their strongholds. They haven't surrendered and come out, but they remain in their strongholds, which strongholds for the spiritual leaders of the churches are the churches. And in these strongholds, they continue to propagate their false gospels and teachings. That's right. Even though the spiritual leaders of the churches have lost the battle, as they have been unknowingly trying to deceive the elect into their false gospels and beliefs, they remain in their strongholds, that is, the churches, where they are supported in their deceptions. They and their fellow churchgoers believe they are in gospels and teachings that have or will save them, but they are not. In fact, they are all destined to destruction on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when the truth will be revealed for all to see, and the elect who are outside of all the churches will be vindicated. Now we read of the mighty men, that is the spiritual leaders of Babylon, that their might has failed. Their might has failed. Literally, it reads, their might is dried up. Their might is dried up. That is, the waters of their might are dried up. And the waters of the leaders of the churches was once the saving gospel. But now the saving gospel has been dried up in these leaders, as they are bringing false gospels and teachings instead of the true gospel. Furthermore, ever since May 21, 2011, eternal salvation has come to an end, so that even if these mighty men, that is the church leaders, brought the true gospel, it would have no effect unto salvation. Indeed, their might has failed. It is dried up. Then we read of these mighty or strong men of Babylon, that is the spiritual leaders of this world, including all the churches, that they became as women. They became as women. This cannot only mean that they became weak as women, and that women in general are the weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3:7, but spiritually it means that they became as women in that the head of the woman is the man, 1 Corinthians 11:3. That is, they became as women in that they became under the headship or authority of man instead of under the headship or authority of Christ, so that they were no longer following Christ, but instead following man with their false gospels and teachings. In other words, they began to teach things that were pleasing to man rather than to Christ. For instance, the spiritual leaders of the churches began to teach that salvation was at least in part up to man, for man could just make a decision for Christ, and then they would be saved. This meant that salvation depended upon the choice of humans instead of the choice of Christ alone, which is a false gospel. So in retrospect, to become as women means to come under the authority of man rather than under the authority of Christ. And the result is that for the mighty men of Babylon who became as women, they sought to please man rather than to please Christ, so that they brought many false teachings into all the churches. These teachings were more pleasing to man than to Christ. But now, continuing in our verse, we read, they have burned her dwelling places. That is, these mighty men of Babylon, they have burned her dwelling places. That is, the mighty men of Babylon, who are all the spiritual leaders of this world, as well as all the spiritual leaders of the churches, have burned or set on fire her, that is Babylon's, dwelling places. And since Babylon's dwelling places are the world, including all the churches, we are being told that they, the mighty men of Babylon, who are all the spiritual leaders of the world, as well as the spiritual leaders of the churches, have burned up the world, including all the churches. Of course, they haven't literally burned them or set them on fire, but they have spiritually burned them or set them on fire, as they were used by Yahweh to bring judgment against them with all their false gospels, teachings, religions, and beliefs. Yes, in the Bible, fire is symbolic of judgment, so that in that the spiritual leaders of the world, as well as the spiritual leaders of the churches, burned or set on fire Babylon's dwelling places, and that is the world and all the churches, it means that they brought judgment to the world and all the churches by their false religions, beliefs, gospels, and teachings. Indeed, Yahweh used these mighty men of Babylon as instruments of judgment, or we could say as instruments of fire, to set on fire or burn the world and all the churches, which are the dwelling places of Babylon. Therefore, we understand what it means that they, the mighty men of Babylon, have burned her dwelling places. Now, finally, we are told that her bars are broken. That is, the bars of Babylon are broken. And the bars are normally a part of the gate to the city. And these bars function to keep the enemy from getting in. We could say that the bars are like the walls, in that both the bars and the walls are used to save the city from attack. In other words, the bars and walls bring salvation to the city from their enemies. So to be without bars means that there is no longer any salvation for the city, since without bars, the enemy can get through the gate to destroy the city. Hence, when our verse says that Babylon's bars are broken, it is the same thing as saying salvation is gone for Babylon, which is just another verse to support the fact that salvation has ended for this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Moving on to verse 31 of Jeremiah 51, verse 31, I just have a little to say about this verse. It reads, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. Here we first read, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another. Literally it reads, runner to meet runner, he is running, and announcer to meet announcer. What we have is a description of the messenger system of a king in battle. To get messages to the king from the front lines of the battle, they would send a runner and announcer with a message to deliver to another runner and announcer, and to another runner and announcer, and so on, until the message could be delivered and announced to the king by the last runner and announcer. This is the way in which the king was kept up to date on the battle, whether his soldiers were winning or losing, and on any other news of importance. Now our verse continues by telling us the purpose of this certain message sent to the king, namely to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at end. And the King James Version actually inputs at one end. We could translate it like this, though. To show the king of Babylon that his city is taken from the outmost parts. From the outmost parts. The outmost parts would be those parts nearest to the borders of the king's kingdom. Spiritually, these outmost parts of Satan's kingdom, Babylon, would be where the completely spiritual kingdom of Babylon borders on the physical realm, which would be in this world, including in all the churches. There, the city of the king of Babylon has been taken ever since May 21, 2011, when salvation came to an end. And the runners and announcers who put this message, who got this message, that is to Satan, the king of Babylon, on May 21, 2011, were the spiritual demons who serve Satan. Well, let's move on to verse 32. Verse 32, that's all I wanted to say about verse 31. Verse 32 reads, and this is the last verse that we'll cover, and that the passages are stopped. And that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. In this verse, we first read, the passages are stopped. The passages were pathways that permitted people to get through or around a given obstacle. For instance, the shallow parts of a river would become pathways through that river, and these pathways would be called the passages of that river, such as the passages of Jordan, Judges 12:5, or the passages of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2, or the passages of Jabbok, Genesis 32:22, and so on. Now we are told that the passages of Babylon, that is the pathways which permit the Babylonian armies to freely travel through, around, or over given obstacles such as rivers, are stopped, seized, or captured by the opposing side, who is Christ. Yes, it is Christ who in this day has come up against Babylon and has captured and stopped the passages of Babylon. And how has Christ stopped the passages of Babylon? Well, by having taken away any possibility of any of the Babylonians being eternally saved. You see, the passing through the river was a picture of passing through hell to get to the other side in heaven. But now that the passages through the rivers have been stopped ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, there is no way to get to the other side of the river, that is hell, into heaven. Which is just another way of saying that there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation for the Babylonians. The passageway through the river, which passageway is a picture of Christ himself, can no longer be found by the Babylonians because that passageway, Christ, is no longer available for eternal life. The passages, a picture of Christ, are indeed stopped. Christ has been stopped from giving eternal life to the peoples of this world, including all those who now reside in a church that is in Babylon. And all the churches are a part of Babylon, because ever since May 21 of 1988, they were all given over to the kingdom of Babylon, the king, Satan, to take over the churches and rule over them. And that's why in this day and age, the churches we categorize as being a part of Babylon. But next in our verse, we read, "And the reeds they have burned with fire." And the reeds they have burned with fire. The word translated as reeds is a word that is normally translated as pools or ponds. But it can be translated as reeds with reference to the reeds in a pool or pond. In this case, it appears to be referring to the reeds that are found in the passages through the rivers or found in the shallow parts of the rivers whereby the people can cross the rivers. We already learned that these passages are stopped and that Christ is no longer permitting anyone to cross the river, which was a picture of hell, into heaven through the passageway of Christ, which means that Christ is no longer allowing anyone to become eternally saved through him ever since May 21, 2011. But what are we being taught when we are told that the reeds in these river passages, they have burned with fire? Since these reeds are referring to the pools of water in the passages through the rivers that are stopped, we are being told that these passages are pools of water, they have burned with fire. And because fire is symbolic of judgment in the Bible, that they have burned these passages ways or pools of water with fire. Of course, they burned them from the top down, starting with the reeds and then burning down right to the water's top. So they have burned these passageways or pools of water with fire means that judgment day has come upon these passageways. And whereas these passages of water once brought eternal salvation from the river, that is hell, through Christ, it is now burned with fire, which means that the judgment has come upon them, and these passageways, that is Christ, are no longer eternally saving any of the Babylonians, that is the peoples of this world, including all those who have remained in the churches. So in that the reeds have been burned with fire simply reveals judgment to have come upon the pools that are a part of the passages through the rivers, that is through hell. There is no longer a way to cross over the river, that is over through hell, because the passageway, that is Christ, has been stopped from giving anyone eternal life. What we have in this verse, then, is more evidence of eternal salvation having come to an end, for the passages are stopped, and the reeds, that is, the pools with reeds, they have burned with fire. Now, finally, our verse states, "And the men of war are affrighted." The men of war are affrighted. This word translated as affrighted could be translated as anxious, terrified, or disturbed. So our verse reads, "And the men of war are anxious, terrified, or disturbed." And why do the men of war of Babylon feel this way? Well, because there's no longer any possibility of their being eternally saved. Now that their passages are stopped and the reeds of its pools are burned with fire, the Babylonians, that is all those of this world, including those still in the churches, are guaranteed to remain spiritually dead and to be destroyed in a relatively short period of time on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. This is more than enough to put great fear and anxiety and trembling into anyone. In conclusion, In this study, we were first told to prepare against Babylon the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. This we found means to set apart by education and by reaching out to the elect and their leaders throughout the world to go into battle against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, by declaring to them that Babylon is taken, that there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation, which means they are soon to perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Then we were told that the land of Babylon shall tremble and sorrow. This we found meant that the people of the land of Babylon shall tremble and sorrow. And they did so beginning on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. And this trembling and sorrowing is a picture of their spiritual condition, namely, that they can no longer be eternally saved. They are not actually trembling and sorrowing themselves, but their spiritual condition is being portrayed in that they are said to tremble and sorrow ever since Judgment Day began. And why do the people of Babylon tremble and sorrow ever since Judgment Day began? We are told, "For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." To make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant is what Yahweh did to Babylon on May 21, 2011. He made this world, including all the churches, a desolation in that it is no longer possible for any of them to be eternally saved. Spiritually, they are all dead, so that there is no one living in Babylon. They are a desolation, and they are without inhabitant, because there's no one spiritually alive among them. Not to mention that they will all relatively soon be annihilated in the fires of hell on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Next, we were told that the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. The mighty men of Babylon are all the spiritual leaders of the world and the spiritual leaders of all the churches. They have ceased to fight unknowingly ever since Judgment Day began because they can no longer unknowingly frustrate the elect from being saved because the elect have all now already been saved. So the battle in that sense is over. And the spiritual leaders of Babylon have unknowingly ceased to fight with respect to frustrating the elect from being saved. Furthermore, the spiritual leaders of the world are those who lead the churches, and those who lead the churches have not surrendered and come out, but they have remained in their strongholds. That is, they remain in those places where they are best supported and where they can continue to propagate their false religions, philosophies, gospels, and teachings. The strongholds for the spiritual leaders of the churches are the churches. There they have remained while they continue to deceive people into worshiping the false Christ. And why have they remained in their strongholds of the churches? Like I said before, because that is where they receive the greatest amount of support. But now, what does it mean that these mighty men of Babylon, that is the spiritual leaders, have become as women? We found that it means that the spiritual leaders of this world and the spiritual leaders of all the churches have come to be like women in that they have come to be under the authority or headship of man. Therefore, they have let those things into the church, for instance, that are pleasing to man more so than to God. And their teachings have become watered down with the doctrines and teachings of men rather than those of God. But what does it mean that these spiritual leaders have burned Babylon's dwelling places and that her bars are broken? Since Babylon's dwelling places are the world and all the churches, It is the world and all the churches that have been burned by their spiritual leaders. And they have burned the world and all the churches because they have been used by Yahweh to bring judgment. And judgment is symbolized by fire against them by leading the world and all the churches into more and more falsehood. This growing apostasy is the fire by which the spiritual leaders have spiritually burned Babylon's dwelling places. What's more, we are told that Babylon's bars are broken. This means that the people of Babylon have no salvation because the bars which normally protected them from their enemies are broken. Spiritually, this means that Babylon has no eternal life, which means that the peoples of the world and all those in the churches have no eternal salvation. Then, we are told that one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at end, or at one end. We more literally translated this verse like this: runner to meet runner, he is running, and announcer to meet announcer, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at the outmost parts. The outmost parts of Babylon are referring to where spiritual Babylon borders the physical realm, which is in this world and in all the churches. So the runner sent to the king of Babylon announces to the king that the world and all the churches are taken, as these are at the outmost borders of his spiritual kingdom. And finally, it is communicated to the king of Babylon that the passages are stopped and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. In this last verse, we found that the passages refer to the shallow parts of rivers where it is possible to cross them. These passageways symbolize the passageway through hell into heaven. And that passageway, of course, is Christ. And in that the passages are stopped, captured, or seized means that they can no longer be crossed into heaven. This is a picture of salvation through Christ being stopped. In other words, when we read that the passages are stopped, it means that there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation because Christ, the passageway, has been stopped from saving anyone else ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Furthermore, in that we are told that the reeds they have burned with fire simply symbolizes the fact that these passageways of water that have reeds growing out of them have been judged or set on fire, so that whereas they could once give eternal life to the people of Babylon, they now can only bring condemnation to the people of Babylon. This all points to the fact that there is no more eternal salvation possible for the people of this world, nor for the people in all the churches. No wonder our verse told us that Babylon's men of war are affrighted. They can no longer be eternally saved, and this means it will be relatively soon when they are all destroyed in the fires of annihilation on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Well, that completes our study. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.